Sierra FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Again, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. Let me be one of the first people to welcome you to the month of March. And I pray that it'll not only, be a change in seasons as far as hopefully the temperatures will be just the way that you like them, but also that it will be, a month where we actually do what the month says, that we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we keep in step with God's plan for our lives, and we march as a follower of Jesus Christ for the purpose that he has set before us. So that is what we would like to encourage you to do during the month of March. Today we're going to be in Psalm 119. If you open your Bible, this doesn't work if you have an electronic Bible, but if you grab your Bible and you open it to right about the middle, that will put you very, very close to Psalm 119. So you shouldn't have to turn too many pages that way. You're right in the meat of God's word there, right in the heart of it. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 33, go on down to verse number 40. And I just want to tell you right now that this is probably going to touch on some valuable areas. It's also probably going to be some challenging areas as we deal with these eight verses of Scripture. I want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any concrete work done, like I do, and I've been in conversations with them, I've just got to take care of some preliminaries in order to set the stage for them to do some necessary work around my house. But if you've got anything coming up, you want to give them a call. They have decades of experience. They have a great level of expertise. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time, and they do it with a great deal of efficiency. And so they have a great work ethic. Give them a call, 321-536-5804, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So right now we are talking about the devotion of believers, the devotion of believers. I believe that the season that we are in spiritually right now is so intense that we cannot afford to be the complacent Christians anymore. I don't know that we could have ever afforded that, but for far too long, Christianity has been comfortable rather than driven to accomplish the Great Commission. I preached a sermon series years ago called Driven, What Drives You? What Drives You? And for some people, it's education. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's power. For some people, it's celebrity. For some people, it's intellectual superiority. For some, it's athletics. There's a lot of things that can drive you. And not long after I preached that series, they came out with a movie titled Driven. And it's like, somebody's been reading my mail. For some reason, I think Sylvester Stallone was in that, but I never saw the movie, so I Couldn't tell you that for 100% sure, but we are driven by something. We are devoted. It just depends, are we devoted to the right thing? And so we're going through this little mini sub-series here on what do believers need to be devoted to. Psalm 119, verse 33 says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." So in these eight verses, there are several statements that are made about God, if you will do this, then I will do this. And if I do this, God, will you do this? It's not a consistent thing in that it happens every verse, and it's not set in the same pattern every verse. So I want to take you. I've got nine things that are written down here. It wasn't that long ago. It was a little over 3 years ago. We went through this particular passage, but verse number 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." So we come to God and we enroll in the school of the Spirit and say, "God, you're the teacher. I'm the student. And I want you to teach me the way of your statutes, not just the letter of the law. I want you to teach me the Spirit. I want you to teach me your ways." A lot of people, especially in the charismatic and Pentecostal arenas, when they are looking at the life of Moses, I believe it's in the book of Exodus, and God calls Moses up to the mountain, and Moses says, "God, I want you to show me your glory." And so there are a lot of people who get real excited about that, and they say, you know, "God, show me your glory." And believe me, I understand when you have experienced the glory of God, it is amazing, it is wonderful, it is fantastic. But also understand this, that there was another prayer that Moses prayed right before that, and that was, "God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways." It's in Exodus chapter 33. I'll begin reading in verse number 12. "And then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. You have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. I know you by name.' And he said, 'Please show me your glory.' Then he," God said, "I will make all my goodness pass, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Here's a place by me. You shall stand on the rock.' So it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. If you want to see the glory of God, then you have also got to acknowledge what is in verse number 13. If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Grace is essential for salvation. It's the favor of God. It is God giving us something that we do not deserve. I've been preaching a message at the church I think it was late January. I preached about the grace of God, the abundant grace of God that manifests in a community of believers, compels us, it moves us to thanksgiving, to where we can behold the exceeding and eternal glory of God. So grace is not just a moment where we have favor, we say a prayer, we get up and we go and do our own thing. Grace is supposed to be a residential thing taking place in our life that is increasing more and more. One translation, when it talks about abounding, it describes things as superabounding. I pray that you superabound in the grace of God. So here in Psalm 119, verse 33, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And that's God's part. You teach, and then here's man's part. And I shall keep it to the end. I shall keep it to the end. Ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been coming in after God has shared something with his people, and the devil has been trying to undermine what God has taught his people, what God has told his people over and over and over again. We're still failing the same test that we've always failed, because we need to respond to God's teaching in such a way that says, I am going to keep it until my last breath. My last breath. So, in good times and in bad times, I pray that you will stay in the school of the Spirit, have God teach you his ways, and that you will not try and look for alternative ways, but instead you will say, God, that's your law, and I'm going to obey it. I'm going to obey it, not just at the beginning. I'm going to obey it at the end. The second one is in verse number 34, and here it says, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. So understanding is very, very important. It takes the knowledge that we have, and we understand why it is that way, how come it operates that way. There are a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't have any understanding. You can go to school and you can study to pass the test, and you can come back and have forgotten everything that you studied in the week before, because your objective wasn't to better your life. Your objective was to get a good grade on the test. But when you have understanding, then you have the knowledge, but you also know why that is the way that it is. A lot of people ask God why questions. God, why is this happening? What's going on here? And, sometimes in the mercy of God, that is okay, but as parents, and all of our kids are grown now, we tried to teach our children, when we say something, you need to obey it first, and then we will explain it to you after that. And so the understanding is not just the understanding of the command. The understanding that we need is the heart of God. When you know that God is for you and not against you, when you know that God created you on purpose, when you know that God has a plan for your life, when you know that God wants to save your soul, when you know that God wants to heal your body, when you know that God wants to be your provider, he wants to be the center point of your life, then you have understanding as to the things that he tells you to do. So I've been very transparent here on the radio program about things that God has had us do through the years that were not always easy. So at one point in time, my wife and I, we were relatively newly married. It was within the first 3 or 4 years of our life, of our married life. And we got a position, and that meant a cut in pay. So we were making less than $15,000 a year, and we took a cut in pay to go do what God said. And God helped us. Our expenses went down, and so we were able to survive, but it was very, very difficult. In fact, we said, God, we really need your help. We don't know how we're going to get out of this situation. And we looked at the end and said, well, we know we got through it. We still don't know have any idea how. And so we served faithfully there, and then we got invited to Florida, and we had got up to where we were making about $20,000 a year as a couple, and we took about a 10 to 15% pay cut to come to Florida. And so you could look and say, you know, why do we keep having to take a step back in order to go forward? But I can tell you this, that God knows what he's doing. If you've ever driven a manual shifting automobile, whenever you are going to shift gears, you have to take your foot off the accelerator, press the clutch in. Once the clutch is in, then you change it to the next gear, and then you slowly let your foot off the clutch, and you start accelerating with the gas again. You and I, we just need to understand that whether it is advancement that we can see or whether it is advancement that we cannot see, that God is working all things in the direction that he has, that he is going to have us right in the center of his will. Now, I will tell you that through the years, I have had this mindset that too many times we think that we're on a luxury cruise instead of realizing that God is preparing us for spiritual warfare. So I started off my college degree at a school where the buildings were, by the time I got there, they were 10 to 15 years old. They were cutting edge technology, but they were also pricey. And so I ended up transferring. I ended up at a Bible college that had been there for, let's see, 60 years, roughly, I think 60 years. And when I got there, there wasn't luxurious accommodations for incoming students. You roughed it. There was a boiler for the building. And during one blizzard that was there, I remember that the boiler was working so well that you had to open up the windows during a blizzard in order to cool down your room. You didn't have a bathroom per room. There were two guys in a room. You had a bathroom per wing. And so everybody needed the showers at the same time and all that sort of stuff. So, you know what? I wouldn't trade those years for anything. People look back and say, wow, you know, Now, listen, when I got a chance to get into the nicer dorm, I took it. But I wouldn't trade those years of adversity for anything, because they let me know, look, not everything is going to be absolutely fantastic according to the world standards. I understand God's getting me ready for spiritual warfare. And so it says, give me understanding, I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And so we've got to have that wholehearted devotion. There are a number of passages that talk about being devoted from the heart in the New International Version. In 1 Kings 11:4, it says, this is the New International Version, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. Okay? If your heart's not fully in it, it's going to reflect in your behavior and in everything that you do. Now, Solomon maintained some standards, but the king was always supposed to handwrite a copy of the law for himself so he would be familiar with it. What happened? When they did not do that, Solomon ended up doing several things, multiple things, that the kings weren't supposed to do. And the price of that disobedience, intentional or unintentional, was that his heart began to be turned away after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to God. You cannot be fully devoted to God while having your heart being turned towards other gods as well. In 2 Chronicles 17:6, it says, Jehoshaphat's heart was devoted to God. It says, Jehoshaphat's heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. The heart is the center of spiritual activity in Old Testament literature, and it's the center of the emotions. Jehoshaphat delighted in the ways of the Lord. In other words, he wasn't just doing the work. It was actually a joy for him because he was into it with all of his heart. One more passage, and it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 16, because they rejected my laws and did not follow my decrees and desecrated my Sabbaths, for their hearts were devoted to their idols. Their hearts went after the idols. So where is your heart at today? Is your heart into doing what God wants you to do, or is your heart into something else? I believe it's wise for the children of God to say, God, I want to have understanding. I want you to teach me your ways. I want to keep your law, and I want to observe it wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I'm not just lackadaisical about it. I want to do it with joy. Verse number 35, this is the third point. And it says, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. For I delight in it. And you have, listen, God sets us up for success, not for failure. And so whenever we are going through a test, it is not for God to know what is going on inside of us. It is to reveal to us what is going on inside of us. So the commandments of God require a journey along a certain path. You can't just add God into your mess as just an ingredient and not make any transformation. You have to Say, God, I need you to deliver me from this mess. I want you to be the center of my life. I don't just want you to be my problem solver. I want you to be the focal point of my life. And so God gives us these commandments. They are a gift from God, and you and I need to have the same mindset that the psalmist has here and says, God, I delight in your commandments. I delight. Now, listen, that takes a lot of maturity. It is a great joy for us as we are watching our children raise their children. And a lot of times I watch as the children are doing things with joy, and I sit back and I say, it's going to be a few years, and then all of a sudden they're going to realize that what they're doing is actually work. And you know what? The task isn't going to change. The person doing the task isn't going to change. And I'm not prophesying this over them. I'm just saying that human nature is still developing in them. And one of these days they're going to say, you know what? This isn't as fun as I thought it was. I remember when I was growing up that my sister had a toy vacuum cleaner. She had a toy stove. We had toy tractors, and we had toy lawnmowers, and we had toy gas pumps, and it was such great fun to get out there and play with all of those toys. But one day, those tasks weren't just designed to show us what adulting was going to look like. One day, they became a reality. And if you and I will allow God, God will continue to cause us to serve him with joy. So I've been at Merit Assembly of God for over 30 years. I can still remember the mindset of when I first came preaching to a few believers that didn't know me and I didn't know them. And you know what? I want God to continue to have me to operate in the joy of the kingdom, not just on that first day, but until my very last day, whenever that may be. May you today, on March the 1st, may you walk in the path of God's commandments, and may you delight in it. May it be enjoyable. May you realize what a privilege and a thrill it is to be able to hear from God, know what he wants, and to do it because he's helping you along that journey. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Savior.